Last weekend, I was at the annual Legatus Summit. So for Mass, you probably had Father Brian or our pastor emeritus, Father Jim. Many of you know that a few years ago, the bishop assigned me as a chaplain for this group called Legatus, the Ann Arbor chapter of it, which is an organization of Catholic business leaders dedicated to learning how to better live out their faith and their vocation as a business leader more publicly in the world. And so Legatus, if you're wondering about that name, it's the Latin term for ambassador, which describes not just those business leaders, but all of us, because each of us at our baptism became Christ's ambassador, right? We get that from 2 Corinthians 5:20. There, St. Paul exclaims, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." Do you see yourself as an ambassador of Christ? See, God wants to use you, and don't look at me or the person next to you. God wants to use you to make his appeal to the people in your life. And the following verse tells us what the nature of that appeal that he wants to offer to others through you. St. Paul says, "On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." That's the appeal he wants to offer through you for the people in your life, to be reconciled to God, to come back and be united with him, to be one with him. Remember, his mission is that they may all be one as you, Father, are and I are one. So are you taking your charge that God gives you as his ambassador seriously? Because we're here at Mass, we have the supreme privilege of worshiping the living God, reconciled to him through the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist, becoming more united with him, nourished by his very word and his body and blood. But what about the others in your life who don't have that privilege? Who do not know the way, the truth, and the life. And so we hear St. Paul exclaiming that thirst for souls, right? He goes, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." And in the gospel reading from Mark, we see Jesus himself in determined fashion. "Let us go to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." This was Jesus' purpose, his mission on earth. Right, to preach the good news and then to offer his life as a sacrifice for the salvation of the world. To atone for all the horrible ways that we treat one another. That it can be so in full display in this world of the media, right? So that in Jesus' suffering death, he is the one who receives our just punishment. But in his resurrection, we receive his divine life and glory. Not a bad deal, right? It's good news. It's great news for humanity. And yet we hesitate to share it and the richness that we can receive, the life we can receive it. We hesitate to share it. Maybe for various reasons. Maybe it's like Jesus, since we're members of his body and are called to do the exact things that he did. We're his hands, his feet now. Maybe we can be afraid that we may be treated in a similar way that Jesus was treated by his own people. But friends, that's why we come here each weekend, right? To hear Jesus tell us time and again, "Be not afraid. I've been there and I'm with you." And the closer we become to Jesus, we realize that whether it's the joyful or sorrowful mysteries of life, whether others are lauding or maligning us, there's no other place we'd rather be than 100% with our beloved Lord in good times and in bad. That's why Job, for example, stayed faithful despite the worst tragedies that happened in his life. But maybe our hesitation to share the good news is that we simply don't know how to share the good news without feeling like we're some televangelist or some street corner preacher, or without feeling like bringing up Jesus and bringing up coming back to church would only drive our loved ones further away rather than bring them back. You're not alone in that feeling, which is why we want to emphasize that the sharing of the good news is not so much about your words, but even more about your life. Right? In Jesus' preaching, it was always accompanied with healings. And so we are called to heal, to be balm, to be salve in people's life, right? That helps heal their wounds with God's grace. And so does your own life speak volumes that Jesus is alive and that you are in love with him and that you encounter and receive his very life here in the church? When our life, a life of joy and peace, a life of meaning and fulfillment, a life that's not self-absorbed, but one that is giving, self-giving, one that's filled with love and compassion for others, when our life incarnates and radiates the life of Jesus and his good news, that's when our invitation and our words have attraction and authority. But for our lives to begin reflecting that life of Jesus that people would yearn for, we can't be straddling the fence, right? We can't live double lives. Jesus wants all of us, not half of us. And if we live our lives divided like that, then we'll feel torn. We'll feel like we're being pulled in two different directions. So as Father Brian mentioned a couple of weeks ago in that last segment on our homily series on the Mass, you ultimately can give Jesus all of your heart, all of ourselves, or none at all. What we can't give Jesus is anything in between. Right? And so we can't give Jesus and the life of his church short shrift because we end up losing him altogether. And so what does surrendering to him, giving him our all mean? It means we surrender every part of our life to the lordship of Jesus, trusting that he has the best intentions in mind for every aspect of our life, our family, our career, our finances, our leisure time. Do we glorify God in every aspect of our life? Or is it obvious that I want to keep myself as Lord of this aspect of my life? Now remember, it's not that God doesn't want the very best for us in all those aspects. St. Irenaeus, great church father, said the glory of God is man fully alive. God glories in our goodness and that we live life to the full. But whose standards are we using when we think of life to the full? Whose standards are we using for the good life? Is it the world's standards or is it God's? You know, there is some overlap in those two visions, like having a good beer, for example. There's good overlap there between the world's vision and God's vision. But there are many areas where those two visions are diametrically opposed, right? Where, as St. Paul puts it, the life of the spirit is directly opposed to the life of the flesh. But Lent, which starts in 10 or 11 days, it's a good time to discern, Lord, where am I trying to straddle the fence? Where have I not made you Lord over some aspect in my life? Right? And then to use the Lenten season to wean that away, right? To sacrifice, to give that wholly over to the Lord. Because when we surrender him our all, we make the great realization that we are the ones enriched. We're not giving up anything, we're receiving. So, you know, whereas straddling the fence, not only does that make us feel divided, but it also keeps us from being effective as Christ's ambassador. It keeps me from being used by God to make his appeal to the people in my life that so desperately need his grace, his life, his vision. It was straddling the fence that kept me from saying yes to the priesthood earlier. Right? So a big part of what will make us an effective ambassador for him is if we are intentionally seeking avenues to contribute to the building up of God's kingdom, using our gifts and our talents for the advancement of God's kingdom. And as we are taking part in that diocesan-wide grow and go evangelization initiative, where we're, you know, encouraged to grow in our faith and then go share it, grow and go. I encourage you then to discover just one new concrete way that you feel moved or inspired to build up God's kingdom this upcoming Lent. As you may have noticed, in the last few years, our parish has so many new ways of getting involved through various ministries and faith formation events. And we've never really had a ministry fair to give our parishioners a peek at those many various ways in all in one place. I think the last one was 2008 when the Schneiders headed that up. And so our parish center today, until this very weekend, we do have a ministry fair going on, and it's going on at the parish center. It's been rearranged. If you didn't walk in that way, I encourage you to walk out that way, because it's been rearranged this weekend into a ministry showcase with tables of over 20 different groups and ministries that we have at the parish, whether you want to serve through, you know, works of mercy via the Christian service or Stephen ministry or our prison ministry, or help our youth through our children's liturgy of the word, or being a Sunday catechist, or a youth ministry volunteer on Sunday evenings. There are many different ways and many that for different interests and for people of different temperaments to build up God's kingdom. You don't have to be like St. Paul's temperament to be passionate for advancing God's kingdom, right? There's also door prizes there, a bunch of different door prizes and cookie, actually donuts, free donuts this morning, handmade ones. So please take a few minutes after Mass, even to just go socialize since there's free donuts, right, with your fellow parishioners. I would like to give mention to three things in particular, though. Number one is a special plug to those who have musical talents, whether it's playing an instrument or have a wonderful singing voice. We have an incredible group right here, but we're trying to be more consistent in all our other Masses. So if anyone around you has ever mentioned to you, "My, you have a beautiful voice," then I'm talking directly to you, right? Father Brian, Dominic Christ, and our worship commission, chaired by Julie Pinkos, are working on a 3-year plan to really up the bar on our liturgical music. And one of the things that keeps us from doing that is that we don't have a very deep bench. Our bench isn't deep enough. We need folks with musical talents and lovely voices to step forward and make yourself known. And we'll work with how often you can make yourself available, or whether or not whether you want to do it through being a cantor or being part of an ensemble or part of a praise and worship team at the 5 p.m. Mass or the choir. We want St. John to be known more than it is already for its beautiful sacred music. So there's a music ministry table at the fair. The second thing I wanted to mention is that thanks to our coordinator of parish life, Shane Slough, we're moving forward on getting our parish representatives initiative off the ground. As some of you know through the fireside chats, we had divided the parish into 12 areas in Jackson County where our parishioners reside. And for each of those 12 areas, we want to have six parish representatives, 3 men, 3 women in each area from 3 different age groups, so that everyone is represented, right? So that it becomes, each area becomes sort of like a microcosm of the church. And so with 6 in each of those 12 areas, you're talking of a total of 72 parish representatives. And so speaking of being ambassadors, 46 have already stepped up to become parish representatives, and some of them have already been undergoing some training, and the next batch of training will happen via small groups this upcoming Lent. But that means, with 46, that means we could use 26 more people to be parish representatives. And basically, the role of the parish rep would be to be a welcoming presence for their area, for any new parishioners, as well as inviting participation from current parishioners into the life of the church. The 6 parish reps from that area, again, they are the personal face to St. John, to the people of their neighborhood or their area. And to put it in St. Paul's words, they are willing to be used by God for him to make his appeal to the people of their neighborhood. And the final area of which I'd like to make special mention is our marriage preparation ministry. As you know, marriage in our society has become a mess with our playing around with God's plan for marriage. In society, there is more heartache than ever and confusion. And so many of our young people entering into marriage today, preparing for their marriage, they didn't necessarily have a great role model after which to pattern their marriage. And so if you find yourself in a happy marriage of 4 years or 40 years, and you'd like to help other engaged couples get off on the right foot to do the same, please visit Angel over at our Focus or Marriage Prep Ministry table. And we'll also be sensitive to how many couples you'd be willing to mentor per year. So in conclusion, the work of proclaiming and sharing the gospel, the good news, takes on different forms, as you can see. How is the Holy Spirit moving your heart to serve? And if nothing comes to mind, pray about it at this very Mass. Because we're all created to give of ourselves. And I know many of you already give so much. You're so involved in the life of the church. If you're one of the ones that's maybe not so much, what's a new one concrete way that you could pray about, that you can be engaged? For we are made in the image and likeness of God who poured himself out for us. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel.